जय हम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय हम त्रिलीला प्रविष्ट शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथ परिधाम की द्वारका परिधाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौ प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale. Shri Vade Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati. Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Pashatya Deshadarine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथा मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्व विज्ञस्वरान् तेरे ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये मुख्यं दियत् सूरया तेजो परिवृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित गैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणं सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वा वरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाददाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भता मुरारे मधुरिन्न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमोऽहं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadharine Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nandam Prajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasham Yasam Harigadot Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Namam Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrasangam Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vadalesham Anisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venam Shyamaloyam Kumaraga Vedavedyavaram Brahma Vasadam Puradomama Mogam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yal Krubadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishnaya Nama Srimadi Radhiyaye Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Pathaya Pratibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Radavarshini Bhagavati Vashtadeshadhyayini Ambadvamanisandhadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayada Patra Netra Yenatvaya Bharata Daila Purna Prajwarido Jnanamaya Pradiba Prabhanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Vanaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrata Duhe Nama Sarva Uparishado Gavo Dogta Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrata Mahar Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Drona Dada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalya Grahavadi Krupena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sutirna Kalubhanda Vairanadi Kaivartaka Keshava Parasharya Vajasaroja Mamalam Hidatha Gandholkanam Nana Khyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodhana Bodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadai Raharahappe Viyamanam Muda Uyar Bharata Pankaja Kalimala Pradhvam Sinashreyase Mukam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubadamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendrarum Brahmarudastvan Vande Divyai Savair Vedair Sangamadair Kramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidasura Suragane Devaya Tasmai Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Pradasmarami Hridi Samsphura Dalmadatvam Sachil Sukham Paramahamsa Gatim Tviriyam Yal Swatna Jagara Sushupti Maveti Nityam Tal Brahma Nishkalamaham Naja Bhuda Sangha Pradarbhajami Manasam Vajasam Agamyam Vajo Vibhandi Nikhila Yadanugrahena Yannedi Nedi Vajaneer Nigamam Avocham Tam Deva Deva Majam Achyudam Ahuragriyam Pradar Namami Tamasa Paramarkavarnam Purnam Sanadana Badam Purushottavakhyam Yasmin Nidam Jagadashesham Asheshamurto Rejua Abhujangama Iva Pradivasidam Vai. So, yesterday, when we concluded we were talking about Anuchiki Vidya, which is connected with Prahlada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Prahlada and Anushiki Vidya. Anushiki Vidya means that that it is a particular vision in a person that to relate with Krishna, who is present in the heart of all the other living entities. Directly contacting with Krishna, who is in the heart of every other living entities. So, how to wake up Krishna in another person's heart? That is this Anuchiki Vidya. You will see in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, while talking about Prahlada, this Anuchiki Vidya is spoken there. So, little by little, instead of directly talking to the person's ahangaram, in another person's ahangaram, one learns how to talk to the andaryami in the other person. How to talk to the andaryami in the other person. Because from the individual level, that conversation has no meaning from the Shastram. We'll understand why that is so. One Mahalpa, he got his hand fractured. He fell down and fractured the hand. So he asked his disciple, "Will I get better?" He kept asking this to everybody, to all his disciples in the ashram. He was asking them, "Will I ever get better?" He kept asking. So disciples thought, "That's very strange. You are asking us whether you will get better. How do we know?" He said. He said, "If you say I will get better, I take it that it's coming from your andaryami, not from your ahangaram." So that is the way. We won't understand this actually. This principle, Anuchiki Vidya, we will not understand that. Or talking to the andaryami, to the other person. So he says to them that that you may think that they are conversing with you actually, but it is not. They are actually conversing with the super soul, andaryami, who is present inside. And that is this andaryami vidya. Brihadaranya Upanishad, if you look, many chapters is all about this andaryami adhikaranam, it is called. Andaryami vidya. How this talking to the andaryami in another person, and that develops into what is known as Srimad Bhagavata Dharmam. In Bhagavatam you will see this throughout. And some stages when it's spoken, instead of saying this andaryami principle, what is in the Upanishads has been brought into Bhagavatam and presented as Anvikshiki Vidya. Anyway, so what's happening is, within ourselves, each one of us, there is a center whom we even do not know what it is. They are talking to that center inside us. Just like you may think that when people are haunted by the ghosts, you talk to them like that. In a similarly, it will appear as though you are talking to a ghost or something. But like when you have two personalities inside one person, then you will have a problem there, is it not? Double personality, they say. Oh, so similarly, in all of us, There is an andaryami or super soul who is present inside. Actually, that is our identity. Whom we think we are is actually the ghost. The ahangaram, or the ego inside us, whom we think we are, is actually the ghost. The other one is the real vastu. Andaryami. Andaryami is the real vastu. And each and every one of us are ghostly haunted. In one way or the other. It's haunted with the ghost, isn't it? That's why you're madly running around everywhere. That's a symptom of that. That ghostly haunted nature. So, in order to remove that ghost from inside, the original personality inside us, that andaryami has to wake up. Andaryami has to wake up. And that is the responsibility of the spiritual master. Responsibility of the spiritual master. And because only he who knows this well and who can see in that dimensions of the presence of andaryami inside, and he has got the capacity to wake him up from inside. Actually, in reality, that andaryami is the truth. Andaryami is the truth. not the ahangaram. Ahangaram is not the truth, because you can see in the deep sleep state that ahangaram is disappearing. That itself shows that ahangaram is not the truth. But our identification at the moment is with the ahangaram. And with that ahangaram we are moving around in this world, identifying with many, many things, isn't it? So, body, mind, personality, the world, none of them is the reality. Reality is what mentioned in that word. Purushottamakhyam Pradarnamamitamasaparamarkavarnam Purnam sanadhanavadam Purushottamakhyam Yasminidam jagadasheshamasheshabudho Rajvabhujangama imam pratibhasidam vai. That Purnam sanadhanavadam Purushottamakhyam. That Purnam sanadhanavadam Purushottamakhyam. That Purushottama is the reality. World is not the reality. Body, mind, ahangaram, none of these things is reality. They are all false. But reality is this. That means, in that Purushottama, this ahangaram, which is personality, and similarly, all other body, mind, is all we are experiencing, as though it exists. How? That's what. Rajva bhujangama ivam pratibhasidam vai. Just like you are seeing the snake in the rope is andari purushottama, andariyami. In him, we feel falsely the existence of body, the mind, the senses, the ahangaram or false ego, and all the other things. They are not the real ones. Real one is the rope inside, which is andariyami. So in that Purushottama, Rajva Bhujangama Ivam Pratibhasidam, it is a Pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means they are not real, but it is an apparent reality. You feel for some time it's real. Like the body, the mind, the false ego, everything, isn't it? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find even Ravana, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, even they are not real persons. They are not real persons. Because inside them also, it is the same vastu inside, like we have Andaryami inside. They too have Andaryami inside. They too have Andaryami inside, is it not? Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyaksha, all of them, they also have, like us, they also have Krishna inside as the Andaryami. Krishna is inside as the Andaryami. That is why in Bhagavatam you will find that when Bhagavatam is presented, you will see there, when they present these personalities, they will also talk as though they are in the Samadhi Siddhi. Have you seen that? Hiranyaksha is sometimes saying, as though he is in a samadhi state, he is speaking the highest truth. Hiranyakashipu speaks the highest truth. Kamsa talks to Vasudeva and Devaki as though he is a self-realized soul. Why is that? Because of the presence of the Andaryami inside. You can't exclude them from this. They are not separate entities. Krishna, who is within the heart of every one of us, is in their heart as well. So that is why that they in Srimad Bhagavatam, in order that we don't forget this principle, that they were also in the samadhi state. It is presented to us as though they were also in the samadhi state. And only thing is, externally they may be Ravana, Hiranyakashipu and all that. Why? Based on the vasanas inside. But inside them, that essentially there is no big difference between them and us. We also have vasanas, they also have vasanas. And they also have Andaryami, we also have Andaryami. Andaryami is the real principle, isn't it? But in there also, as Andaryami is present there, and they are also relating to Krishna, not like the way we are trying to relate, but through hate, through fear, and through lust, in different ways, they are also relating to Krishna. Because you can only actually relate it to Krishna alone. Nobody else you can relate with.
You can only relate with Krishna. Because only difference is, they are relating in another way, through hate. Shishubala related through hate. Kamsa related through fear. And Hiranyakashipu related through fear, in different ways, isn't it? Gopyakamal bhayal kamsa deshe chaityadayo nirva. Sambandho vrishnaya snehal yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. The seventh canto, you can see that. Because in reality, we can't have any genuine relationship except with Krishna, nothing else, except Krishna. That is why we are also trying to relate with Antaryami inside. And they are also trying to relate with the Antaryami inside, but in a different route, that's all. Different route also. Because there is nothing else exists here except Krishna. Except Krishna, nothing else exists here. And there is not possible for any vastu, any other vastu to take birth here. That's also possible. It is not possible. Another vastu, another object cannot be created here. That is why that verse, yasmennidam jagadashesham, jagadashesham ashesham urto, ashesham, ashesham, ashesham urto. Krishna's another name is this, asheshamurti. Asheshamurti means, one who is coming in front of us in all these different forms. All these different forms. Therefore, pradhar namami, I pay my, offer my obeisances to them. Offer my obeisances to him. Who present in front of us in all these different forms. It is one person who is present in all front of us in all the different forms. In Vedam, there is a famous prayers and very important suktam they are. They are called Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram, completely if you read Shri Rudram, the prayers, which is used in all the yajnam and yagam, yajnam and yagam, all the sacrifices, Shri Rudram is chanted. And this whole Shri Rudram is Nama, like here, Pradhar Namami, Nama it is, Namakam. If you read through that, you will see in the Shri Rudram and Shamakam, that's how it is address, Rudram and Shamakam. So, Shri Rudram is all Nama, Nama, Nama. Namaste Rudramanyava Utumode Ishavai Nama. Namaste Astu Danvani Bahubhya Mutadai Nama. Yadam Ishu Shivadama Shivam Babuvade Dhanuha. Shiva Sharavyaya Tavataya Anu Rudram Ridayaha. Yate Rudra Shiva Tanu Rakhora Papagashini. Tayanas Tanuva Shandamaya Giri Shandabhijagashihi. Yamisham Girishandamaste Bibarshastave. In that way it goes. So what it is all over you will find that offering obeisances to the different weapons, because these weapons, what is spoken there, why that weapon forms are spoken, the reason for that is, initially, when we are relating with that vastu, the truth inside, for example, you go to the temple and you see the deity with the crown and with all the decorations. And then that is, you are accepting that is the form of that Antaryami inside. Then as Bhagavatam says, as our vision gets better or we improve our understanding, it develops into everything else in this world, like the rivers, the mountains, like we see Ganga River, Yamuna River, Godavari, Saraswati, Kaveri, all of the rivers is considered as a manifestation of Krishna. Similarly, all the mountains, Mahendragiri, Vindhya Mountains, and also Govardhana Hill, all these are worshipped, is it not? And later on, when someone shows some good feeling for us, or someone sacrifices something for us, like their parents, family members, friends, when they make sacrifices, you will start recognizing Krishna's presence in them. Because it is that feeling towards that sacrifice what they have made for us. On the other hand, if somebody relate with us in an inimical way, in an opposite way, then you will start feeling some demonic thoughts in us about them. A demonic thought will appear. At that time, we are not able to see them as Krishna's presence in them. Is it not? Krishna's presence in them. So, in Vishnu Sahasranamam, at the very end, there is a word, Sarva Praharanayudha. Sarva Praharanayudha. That's how Vishnu Sahasranam, you will see this. The last name. What does that mean? Krishna has got the weapon in the hand to beat everybody. It's a very beautiful name Krishna has got. And you are offering flowers to Krishna, chanting this name, Sarva Praharanayudha, and offering the flowers to him. One who has got the weapon in the hand to beat everybody. That's what he is doing to us all the time, isn't it? He is beating us all the time from all the sides. Little by little smashes us. That smashes whatever ego inside. To crush that ego, it needs that beating. So, the weapon what he is using to one person will not be the weapon he is used to somebody else. That's why it is called Sarva Praharana Aida. Aidam for Praharanam, for everybody. So different weapon for different people. We all require different weapons to be beaten by different weapons, isn't it? So what one is using to one person, he may not use for the another person. Where you have to be beaten so that you will cry, only he knows. You have to be beaten, there is no question. Because hangaram is there. So you need the beating. But where you should be beaten, that only he knows. We don't know that. That's why these different kinds of weapons. Somewhere he has to excuse us so that you will cry. So it's to make you cry. So where you will cry, by squeezing where you will cry, he will excuse you there. He will hit you there. So, and then we will cry. Then we will cry. At that time, you have to know it is Sarva Praharanayudham that's coming. So, you don't require a devil or a Satan for that. He can do it himself. We consider that some people say that there's a separate thing called Satan or devil or something. There's no, everything is coming from him. Everything is coming from him. So, when you feel the pain too much in life, the rishis are saying to us, Namaste Rudramanyeva Idoda Vishave Namaha, Sri Rudram, the first hymn. And then all the other five, it goes into many, many pages, this Sri Rudram. And in the Yagam or in the Yajnam, they will chant the Sri Rudram. It is quite normal practice. So, in there, all the obeisances is to all the weapons of which Krishna is using to beat us. First, offering obeisances to all the weapons. Before offering obeisances to Krishna, offering obeisances to all the weapons. So first thing is that before you start beating me, you must be angry with me. So I pay my obeisances to your anger. It says, I pay my obeisances to your anger first. Namaste Rudramanyava Idoda Ishave Nama. That Ahangaram, that you need to pay obeisances to that, isn't it? So then he says, of course, when we talk, these are all representations of the, like you will see in the 12th canto. It is expressed there very clearly that in the Tandriyam, what all these weapons represent them, what they represent actually. So, then after offering your obeisances to the anger, the next obeisances to the bow. And then the next, after that, because the obeisances to the bow, and then obeisances to that hand which is holding the bow. Namaste astu dhanvani, dhanu, dhanasa, obeisances to that. Then bahubhyam utate nama, to both the hands which is holding that bow. Then yada ishu shivadama shivam babhuvade dhanu, you have also got that along with the bow you have got the arrows with that. All of offer your obeisances to the arrows as well. So when the arrow is shot at us, holding the bow, Krishna has a goal, is it not? That is this jiva inside. And it is painful for the jiva. Jiva means ahankaram inside. So ahankaram is feeling hurt when he gets shot with the arrow. Both of these, Shivam Babhuva. But the benefit, it comes from that. When Krishna punishes us, and whenever Ahankaram goes away, it benefits us. That means, this Ahankaram inside, which means practically our bad impressions, vasanas inside, also the Prarabdha Karmam, what is retained inside, prarabdham inside, and all the sinful reactions of our activities, all these are one which is operating within us. And when Krishna is firing these arrows at us, each one of them gets destroyed. So, without my knowledge, these arrows are coming from Krishna in different ways. Actually, arrows are shot towards my karma vasana or my vasana for engaging in sinful activities. And that thing inside me, which even after engaging in sadhana, I am not able to get rid of it from inside. There are so many things inside us, which even after you do sadhana for a long time, it won't go. It is that bad inside, very deep down there. And very sushpam, extremely subtle vasanas inside. And that can be taken out only with this sarva praharanayita. Vishnu Sahasranamam finishes that with that. Sarva praharanayita om namah iti. So, that surgery, we can't do. We can do certain things like sadhana and all that. You can do a lot of sadhana. But still, certain vasanas which are deep down inside, which must have accumulated over several lifetimes, that will not be destroyed by our effort alone, where Krishna's interference is necessary. So at that time, if you invoke the Antaryami inside, the missile will come to you. His missiles will come to you in some form. And that is why that sarva praharanayita. He says, at that time in Sri Rudram, it says, to addressing Rudra, please protect me. Because when you tie the bow, that string, keep it a little looser when you are shooting the arrow. So that when the arrow comes to me, it doesn't hurt me so much. Because when you get too hurt, you can't handle it anymore. So that time you say to Krishna like this, that it is hurting me a lot, therefore keep that string a little loose so that it doesn't hurt me strongly. So, and you say to him that I'm feeling the pain too much, I can't handle it anymore. So, in the Vedam, it's famous. This Shri Rudram is very famous. It's a namakam. Like it mentions here, Pratarnamami tamasa paramarkavarnam പൂർണ്ണം സനാതനപദം പുരുഷോത്തമാഖ്യം യസ്മിന്നിതം ജഗതശേഷമശേഷഭൂതൗ രജ്വാഭുജംഗമമിത ഇവ പ്രതിഭാസിതം വൈ. സോ ഇൻ ദി അമംഗ് ദ ഫോർ വേദസ് ഇൻ യജുർവേദം ദിസ് യാഗം ആൻഡ് യജ്ഞം ഇസ് ദ മെയിൻ ടോപ്പിക് ഓഫ് ഡിസ്കഷൻ. യാഗം, ആദിരാത്രം, അഗ്നിഷ്ടോമം, വാജപേയം, ഓൾ ദ ഫേമസ് യാഗം ആൻഡ് ദ യജ്ഞംസ്, ദേ ആർ ഓൾ സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ദി യജുർവേദം. And in that middle of that comes the Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram comes in the middle of that. In the Shri Rudram also, again, Rudraigadashini Shrutau Tatra Punya Panjakshari. Lord Shiva's name is mentioned there as the Panjaksharam, Namashivaya, that one. So, very auspicious name, Shiva. Shiva. Bhagavatam also you will see there. യദ്വക്ഷരം നാമഗിരേരിതം നൃണാം പവിത്രകീർത്തി തമലംഘ്യശാസനം മഹാനഹോ ദ്വേഷ്ടി ശിവം ശിവേതര. ലോർഡ് ശിവാസ് നെയ്ം മെൻഷൻ ദയർ ആസ് ദി ശ്രീപാർവതി സെയിങ് ദിസ് പവിത്രകീർത്തി തമലംഘ്യശാസനം മഹാനഹോ ദ്വേഷ്ടി ശിവം ശിവേതര. ഹൂ വിൽ ഓ മേക്ക് എൻ ഒഫെൻസ് ടു ദാറ്റ് നെയ്ം ഓഫ് ലോർഡ് ശിവ? ഹൂ വിൽ ഡു ദാറ്റ് ഹു ഹാസ് സം ബ്രെയിൻ ഇന്റലിജൻസ്? ഷീ സേസ് ദെയർ ഈസ് എ നെയിം. So here that form of Shiva, auspicious form of Shiva, holding on to that is this prayers of Shri Rudram. So in every form we are actually making a relationship with the Antaryami, So offering obeisances to this, you will understand better this. Then when you make a relationship with a person, that in Upanishads it says, just like cucumber, it is when it is ready to be plucked from the creeper, first its connection will break up with the creeper. It will break the connection and it will hang on there. So in a similar way, when it is almost ready to break up, if you pull the cucumber from there, it won't get anywhere hurt. The plant won't get hurt. And the cucumber will come from there very easily. Similarly, the prayer says here that without giving me too much pain, you should take me out from this place. Without giving me too much pain to myself. If it is too painful, then I won't be able to bear that. Like sometimes you can see, like you complain to the father and mother when you are children, in the same way, isn't it? Nowadays not much. When we were young, you used to go to the barber shop and he had his knife there. So when he comes with a knife to shave, you tell him, do it carefully, yes, don't hurt me. You tell them that, because sometimes they could be rusty. They won't be very fresh or anything. He will make you feel as though it's one, fresh one, but it is not. So you will feel a little fearful. Nowadays nobody does all that, but it's different. Too many machines now available. So similarly, just like you say to the barber, don't hurt me. Or you tell parents that, the doctor is doing something, I'm feeling very painful. You complain to your parents, isn't it? When you have children, you do all this. Similarly, you can say that to Krishna also, there's nothing wrong. Because Antaryami inside, he will listen to you. He's the only one who will listen. Nobody else will listen. He's the only one who listens to you. Because in that Shri Rudram, what is interesting is, that is the beauty of Shri Rudram. It says that you are addressing him This Antaryami is what? Some of the things is amazing. It says there. Namo nishangina ishudimate taskaranam padaye nama. Taskaranam padaye nama. You are the head of all the thieves. Addressing Shiva. You are the head of all the thieves. And you, who is the head of all the thieves, I pay my obeisances to you. And next one is also, Namo vanchate parivanchate stayunam padaye nama. Namo vanchate parivanchate stayunam padaye nama. That you cheat first and then he cheats you back. He cheats you back. First he, you are trying to cheat and then he cheats you. He cheats you. And first he takes some wealth away from you, then he gives you some wealth in this way. And ultimately he knows what he should take away from us so that we will get better. And he does that. To that Rudra, we pay our obeisances. Taskaranam padaye nama. Similarly, namo vanchade parivanchade. Vanchade parivanchade sthayunam padaye nama. In all these things, good thieves, they are sthena, good thieves who knows how to steal. So in all that form, you are paying your obeisances to him. Obeisances to him. The reason is, remember, Krishna said in the Bhagavatam that this ahankaram to disappear from inside, he told us the best method at the end to Uddhava, isn't it? What did he say? Praname dandavan bhumau ashwa chandala ghoharam, right? Offer your obeisances to everybody, he said. Shava, dog, dog eater, cow, asses, anyone and everyone, pay your obeisances to them. In that way, ahankaram will go, he said. Is it not? But, how will you pay obeisances to a thief? Or a very crooked person? You know in you, that person is not good. He's not a good person, very wicked. Krishna is saying, obey, pay your obeisances to him. Isn't it? Why did he say that? Visrajya smayamanan swan drisham vredamja dehigim praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala ghokharam. That is what Krishna is saying. As long as you are identifying with the body, dehigim, visrajya smayamanan swan drisham vredamja dehigim. If you want to come out of these four things, what he spoke in the words before that, what were they? Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, sahangaram. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, sahangaram. What we want here is the realization of Krishna present in all the living entities. That is the goal. Is it not? And there, you can't differentiate. There, he is a bad person, he is a good person. That is all on the mental platform. If you have come to the spiritual platform, whether it is a thief, or brahmana, or a chandala, or a dog, or a dog eater, whoever it may be, we need to have this vision. Which one? Andaryami vision. But that is not possible in the beginning. Krishna is saying here, Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Ahangaram. Spardha means this mutual competition nature. Asuya is enviousness. Tiraskaram means ignoring somebody. This is all in us, all of us, is it not? That's how we conduct the Vyavaharam. Certain people we give importance, certain people we completely ignore. And to some others who are higher than you, you feel envy of them. On a mutual equal level, you have competition mutually, spardha. So spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, and then the ahankaram. All four things. Krishna is saying it has to go. Unless that's gone, it is not possible to follow that process. Visrajas vayamanan swan drisham vridamja dehigim. Praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokharam. So therefore Krishna's suggestion is that you pay your obeisances to everybody, irrespective of who they are. But when we pay obeisances to these people, it's like for example, a person who is very wicked or cruel and all that, how will you pay obeisances to them? Therefore, Shastram is saying, you are not actually paying obeisances to them, you are paying your obeisances to the Krishna who is their Antaryami. With that understanding, if you pay obeisances, it won't have any, you won't feel that hate inside. You won't feel the hate inside. You are not paying obeisances. Sometimes it's a big problem because some people whom you know, they have done very, very bad things, but they are sannyasis and gurus and all that sometimes. And you feel, wonder whether what should you do? What should you do? You know what they have done, some of the things. And they are posing themselves in a things, in a dress, what it is not really, you strongly feel about it, that something has gone wrong seriously. And the offering respects to them, Krishna, from Krishna's point of view, you are not offering respects to them, to their ahankaram. You are actually offering respects to that Antaryami who is present in their heart. If you look at it that way, the other side you can completely ignore it. Other side you just ignore it, you don't have to think about it. That part is a different side. That is the ahankaram's activity, what is done there. So this is why, because if you see the person, his ahankaram inside, you will never be able to pay obeisances to anybody. You won't be able to pay obeisances to anyone if you are only looking at the ahankaram inside a person. Because his personality or this ahankaram inside will continuously change. It's never stable, isn't it? It's never stable. It's continuously changing. So, because yesterday you didn't like somebody, tomorrow you may like him. He might be a bad person yesterday, so you didn't like him. The later on, you started liking him, and you are paying obeisances to him. And if he may change again day after tomorrow, he could be a bad person, and you will stop your obeisances to him. So this way, it will continuously change. That is not a proper relationship. What Krishna is saying here is that good person can become a bad person can become a good person. But deep down inside, this Antaryami, that Antaryami is worshipable in everybody. And he is always worshipable, and he is also qualified to receive the obeisances from everybody. So actually this Antaryami principle helps us to understand this. When Krishna said that verse, you should also keep this in mind. Praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokharam. When Krishna is saying that, this should be borne in mind, that you are not offering your obeisances to the ahankaram in the person, actually you are offering your obeisances to the Antaryami in that person. Antaryami is not touched by anything, any of the bad things, what is happening there. So, not on the gross level, on the surface. Not on the surface in a gross level you are offering the obeisances. Not that person who is on the surface in a gross level. Not to him. But instead, deep down inside, in a much subtle level, you are offering your obeisances to the Antaryami inside. This is called Antaryami Vidya. Antaryami Vidya. That is how it is mentioned in the Vedam. In the Vedam it is used as Antaryami Vidya. Vedam says Antaryami Vidya. So that is what is to be taken shelter of. What is to be taken shelter of? So that person who may not be a good person in his personality, in other words, on the personality side of it, he may not be a person. Therefore, he may not know his Antaryami. That doesn't matter. He may not know his Antaryami, but I am seeing the Antaryami in you. That's the principle. I am seeing the Antaryami in you. You may not know your Antaryami. That's another thing. Because everybody is not looking for spiritual life in this world, isn't it? So, you may not know your Antaryami, but I see that Antaryami in you. With that Antaryami. Yes, sarveshu bhudeshu tishtan. Prahadaranyam. Yes, sarvani bhudani na viduhu. Yes, sarvebhyo bhudehyo andaraha. Yes, sarvani bhudani. Yamayadi eshade alma Antaryami amrdaha. In all the living entities, who is present, and in all, the definition of Antaryami is like this. In all the who is present in all the living entities, and not all the living entities knows about him, not all living entities knows about him, but who is present in all the living entities, but who is present in all the living entities and controlling their life in every second. That's what it is. Ya sarveshu bhudeshu tishtan. Ya sarvani bhudani na viduhu. Ya sarvebhyo bhudebhyo andaraha. Ya sarvani bhudano andaro yamayadi. Eshate alma andaryami amadaha. Brahadaranyaka Upanishad says this. It is a beautiful explanation of this Antaryami principle in Brahadaranyam. You can read there. So, one who is present in all the living entities, but one who is not known by all the living entities, but at the same time being present in all the living entities, controlling their life every second, that is Antaryami. So saying that, and it is that same Antaryami who is present in you, present in others, present in me, present in everybody, isn't it? And this is why it is called, saying like this, it's called Antaryami Brahmanam. Antaryami Brahmanam. So, when you bring that Antaryami principle into Vyavaharam, in our dealings or transactions in this world, Namami, that's what that last verse, Pratar Namami Tamasap Paramarkavarnam Purnam Sanadhanabadam Purushottamakyam. Only thing is, all these explanations are there to make us aware of this, right? But even if we do not become fully conscious of everything what is spoken there, at least if we accept this principle, that is do a lot of better. That will do a lot of good. Because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, whether he's a good person or he's a bad person. But when you see the wickedness in a person, practically, sometimes it's difficult to offer your obeisances to them, isn't it? But some places it is like that. We can't do anything about it. The person is like that. What can be done? But you can say like this, that suppose he is going to be a problem for you in your life, that person. He's so cruel and wicked that he's going to create a lot of trouble for you in life. In that case, you can pray to that Antaryami in him, that please don't come, bring him closer to me. Please don't bring him closer to me, isn't it? So that's a way of asking for protection from him. Asking the Antaryami in that person not to bring him closer to me. And if you do that, sometimes he may go away without giving you any trouble. Because sometimes you don't know. In life you deal with so many different people and some of them become very inimical. For what reason you don't know. It happens, isn't it? So there is a process like this called Antaryami Vidya. So if you pray like that to the Antaryami in him, he himself will feel, he won't feel like coming and giving you trouble. That's enough, isn't it? He won't feel like coming and giving you trouble. He will go, he will find somebody else. He will give trouble anyway. That you can't stop. Because he does not know that he has a monitor inside who is controlling him. He does not know that. He is doing things in his ahangaram, he is carrying on doing different things. So, if it is enough, good enough, if you accept the monitor or controller inside, if you accept, that is enough. And what you are actually doing is, you are giving an application to that controller inside to control him properly, so that he doesn't come and cause you all the problems, all the tensions. Just like you can see at home, husband, wife, children. Some children go in the wrong way, won't listen. So sometimes what happens, mother will go and tell the father, look, he's not listening. Or father will tell the mother, whoever has got the better control over him. Says, similarly, in the same way, you have to play all these games at home also, isn't it? When the children are like that, everybody, all the children are not same. Especially these days, hardly you will find one who will listen, isn't it? If you call him this way, they'll go that way. That's how they are. So, and that's how they are trained also at the school and college. By the time once he comes out to the college, it's finished. Then you don't have to educate anymore. Education is over. Got everything ready. And then you will think, is this what I did all my life to do this? So, anyway, at that time, the only thing you can do is to, this is exactly the same thing, that you say to the Antaryami, that give him that good intelligence to act in the right direction. So, it is in this system that the spiritual master also, when he transfers the knowledge of the self to the disciple, this is how it is done. It is from Antaryami to Antaryami. The transfer of the knowledge is from Antaryami to Antaryami. And that is what is all about discussed in the Shruti Gita, in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Shruti Gita is all about this Antaryami principle, isn't it? Directly, he is not talking to your body or mind. It directly addresses to your depth. Antaryami is the depth. So directly addressing your depth. And you are waking up. Shruti Gita is that. That is what Shruti Gita is all about. That's waking up the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So without our knowledge at that time, it starts operating, and without our, we are not even conscious of that, that force will start operating from inside. But the only thing is, when that force is operating from inside, it may not operate the same way, like the way we, according to our ideas, or our plans, or our concept. It may not operate. It may operate in a different level. So, this relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple in the proper way is like this, that it is like a relationship on this basis. On this basis. Like you can see this alchemy, that means like the gold, some metal that is through chemical reactions is turned into gold. Similarly, we are directly inquiring the self, inquiring about the self. And that science, what we read from the book, and we understand, or we hear from somebody and we understand. That is one side of it, one side of it. But with that knowledge we understand one thing, that all it is teaching us, the books, the lectures and all this is only teaching us that this ahankaram has to go from inside, isn't it? So every little bit of destruction of this ego inside is good for us. That much we know about it. But afterwards, after knowing that, in this way, when you start touching that Antaryami inside, you will see there, it is start creating trouble from inside. Why? Because at that time, the power of that spiritual master's instructions, or he is a genuine spiritual master, a genuine spiritual master, and a genuine disciple, they will experience this, that when it starts operating, the Antaryami starts operating inside. Because when it starts smashing down this ahankaram inside, just like a bulldozer, it comes in and smashes it down. But only thing is, if you have the proper background on the spiritual life, then when that happens, you will be able to accept it in a proper way. Otherwise, you will react strongly. Because nobody likes their ahankaram to be bulldozed. Isn't it? Nobody likes it. Their ahankaram to be bulldozed. So when the spiritual master, that is why, prior to practicing all these things, one should study Shastram well. For what purpose? For this reason. That if you have that proper background inside, when your ahankaram is bulldozed, you will be able to accept it without any complaint. So, why at that time you will know that all these things are happening to my false ego. You will be able to receive it in that way. And, little by little, when ahankaram gets destroyed inside, slowly that impact or influence will come to the nervous system, brain, mind, everywhere, and all the negative movements inside us, it will keep on smashing down, and that abhimanam or pride inside, which is inside our subtle body, andarangam, andakaranam, in other words, it will leave that andakaranam. It will leave that andhangaram, will leave the andakaranam. And it will create the most auspicious situation inside. That is when we say chittashuddhi has happened. So it is that process, this vidya, andakarana vidya or andaryami vidya. So it is that vidya which does this job, is called whom we are offering obeisances, and the form is Sangarshana. When we say Balaram is spiritual master, isn't it? Why do we say that? That vidya or that force which smashes our false ego inside and prepares us to accept of that purificationary process, to destroy all the vasanas inside and prepare ourselves to receive the knowledge of the self, that vidya in a personal form, you call him as Balaram or Sangarshana or Adishesha, whichever way you want to address him. That's all. But it is that vidya that is important. His function in us. His function inside us. He need to smash this down. That is why Ahankaram represents Balaram and Atma represents Krishna. So when that Balaram starts operating inside us, or Sangarshana Murti start operating inside us, it is at that time you get the desire to engage in spiritual life. Like, you feel like chanting the holy name, feel like listening to Bhagavadam, going into Salsangam, going to the temple. All these things, that push is coming from Sangarshana Murti inside, Balaram inside. That's him, he is giving you that push from inside. And we are in his hands. We are in his hands at that time. So, just like, see a big elephant, he is walking. On top of that elephant, there is an ant sitting there, on the top. Elephant is going like this, the ant is going this way. Ant is thinking, I'm going to another opposite direction and I'll get there. But he will never get there. Why? Because the elephant is moving in the other direction and he is on top of the elephant. Isn't it? Similarly, wherever the elephant reaches there, the ant will also get there. And that is why he is called as Purushottama. That's why he's called Purushottama. Because where Purushottama is taking us, that's where we will get at the end. Not where you want to go. You won't get there. Where he takes us, because we are like the ant on top of the elephant. The ant is thinking that I'll get there one day and he's moving faster. But he'll stop on the elephant. The elephant is going the opposite way. So wherever the elephant gets there, that's where the ant will also get at the end. So that is why, therefore, he is like the Purushottama. Purushottama is like this. Wherever Purushottama, the name itself is, the reason for that is, the real center inside is this Purushottama, in all of us, isn't it? And Gurudattvam is Krishna. Krishna is that Guru principle. Krishna himself is Guru principle. In other words, in all our fields of life, when Krishna's mercy starts coming in, it starts operating in different directions. So, that is the reason, because in the whole day in life, every single day when we wake up, we haven't got a clue what is all going to happen whole day, isn't it? We wake up, jump into action, run around everywhere, do this, do that, so many things, whatever that comes to the head, we go and do that. It's not anything planned, isn't it? Generally, there is no planning is possible also. Even if you plan something, it doesn't work in that way. So, once you realize this, then Purushottama is the one who is deciding every moment. Antaryami, inside. So, that is the reason when we wake up in the morning, the best thing to do is to hand over that responsibility of running this life unto Him. Unto Him. So, that is why this Pratasmarana. Early hours in the morning when we wake up, the first thing to do is to hand over that everyday activity to Him. Whatever that happens, it happens. Good or bad, and not to complain about anything if things have gone wrong, there must be a reason behind it, why it has happened so. Just like they give this example that a father and the son, a little boy, 2-3 years old, a busy marketplace, the father and the son is going to the marketplace. So while going to the marketplace, the child is saying to the father, I'll hold your hand. Marketplace is very busy. It's possible that the child may leave his hand. He can get lost. So father says, no, you don't hold my hand, I hold your hand, he says. So if the father holds the child's hand, it is safer. Because father won't leave the hand. He knows, the child is with me. But if you leave the responsibility to the child to hold the hand of the father, it's possible that he may get lost. Possible he may get lost. So if the father holds the hand, then father is not in tension about the child. And if the child holds the hand, there could be a possibility that you will lose him, isn't it? Similarly, our sadhana, our anushtanam is all like the child holding the father's hand. It is only that much strength. It is only that much strength. When we will fall, we don't know. Any moment you can fall from your sadhana or your anushtanam. It's a flimsy thing, isn't it? But better than that is to allow you to be held by Him and He holds you all the time, knowing Him very well who is doing this and surrendering to Him. That is a better system. And that is why, you see there, this last verse. Pratarnamamitamasaparamarkavarnam Purnam sanatanapadam purushottamakhyam Yasminnidam jagadashesham asheshamurta urajvabhujangamam Iva pratibhasidam vai. That means that Rajvabhujangam iva pratibhasidam vai namami. in that, like we saw in the snake in the rope, similarly, in that unbroken, pure consciousness, Antaryami, in him, this false ego, Ahangaram, and also this world, these are all nothing but a Pratibhasam. Pratibhasam, it is only a reflection of the reality behind. Only they are not real. This is the conclusion. Rajyam Bhujangama Iva Pratibhasidam Vai. It is only a Pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means it's an apparent reality. It is not reality. It's an apparent reality. Only thing to understand from all these things is that the Vastu, Antaryami inside, pure Adhishtanam or the basis, awareness, whichever way you address that, consciousness, that language to communicate with that Antaryami, that is what we have to develop. That's what we have to develop. Our normal language is useless for that. It is of no use. But the language to understand how to communicate with that Antaryami, that is called Antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam means inward looking. Antarmukhatvam. You will see that in the Bhagavatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is Antarmukhatvam in him. When, after compiling all the Puranas and Mahabharatam, Vedavyas felt unhappy. He said, no. He said, I have done everything what I can. Still, a satisfaction hasn't come inside. And he is thinking in the riverbank Saraswati, he is sitting there. Why is it like this? I have done so much for this world. As Vedavyas Vyasam or the four Vedas were compiled separately, and Brahma Sutram wrote Vedanta Sutram for the benefit of the human society. Then Mahabharatam he wrote. Then he compiled all the 18 Puranas and 18 Upapuranas also. Vedavyasa Maharshi's effort is unbelievable, what he has done for this world. From that Vedavyasa's contribution, the whole spiritual world has come to this planet. Is it not? Great, great acharyas, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis. Where did they get all their directions from? Vedavyasa Maharshi's writings, isn't it? If Vedavyasa Maharshi did not leave all that literature to this world, what would have happened? There wouldn't be any spiritual understanding here, would it? So, Vedavyasa Maharshi's contribution is unparalleled in the history. Nobody else has done this, what Vedavyasa has done. Whereas if you look all around in the other parts of the world, what you find spiritual literature is meager compared to what Vedavyasa has given. Is it not? And Vedavyasa Maharshi's literature, even if you study whole lifetime, you will not be able to complete it. That is his contribution. And that Vedavyasa Maharshi, after writing all this literature, he still felt something is missing in me. I still haven't completed my work, he felt. At that time, what did he do? He spoke to Antaryami. He sat there and he went into deep meditation to think why he didn't go outside asking anybody, why am I not happy? So it was at that time that Vedavyasa Maharshi's Antarmukhatvam, that he got the answer from inside. You have done everything very good, but you still did not glorify Krishna enough, properly. Mahabharatam turned out to be a literature on dharma, isn't it? That wasn't good enough. Why did you brought Krishna into Mahabharatam like so many other personalities, but you didn't glorify Krishna as he is the absolute truth, which you didn't do. So he got the answer already. And then it is after that Sri Narada Maharshi comes, and then the conversation between Narada Maharshi, all Narada Maharshi did was a confirmation of what he already taught. If you look into Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi's conversation, you will see this. That is only a confirmation of what Vedavyasa already knew, what the problem is. So, that is the Andharmukhatvam. So, this Andharmukhatvam is that language of communicating with the Andaryami inside. So, these verses are only a introduction to that. So, we'll look at that verses once again and then hopefully we'll conclude today. Pratasmarami hridayam samspuratam atmatattvam sachil sukham paramaham sagatim turiyam yal supna jagara susuptam avedi nityam tal brahma nishkalam aham naja bhuta sanghaha pradarbhajami manasam vajasam agamyam vajo vibhadi nikhilaya anugrahena yasmin yennedi nedi vajaneer nigamam avocham tam deva devam ajam agrim achyutam ahuragriyam pradarna mami tamasa paramarka varnam purnam sanadana padam purushottamakhyam yasmin idam jagadashesham asheshamurta urajvabhujangamam iva pratibhasitam vai. So those three verses, that these verses are helpful and beneficial for inquiring about the Andaryami, self-inquiry. So even for some time in the morning, half an hour, an hour or so, one should develop this habit of anushtanam, of the self-inquiry, like Krishna has showed us in the Bhagavadam. That means all you are doing at that time is inquiring who we are first, before starting the day, who we are. Allowing the mind to go into the source where it came from. And if you do like that, practically every day if you do that, there will be an undercurrent throughout the day of that practice in the morning. That's why Pradasmarana is important. One who practices that, he will experience an undercurrent of that throughout the day in all his life. Again, that flow inside, undercurrent, is necessary, because this stotram, Pradasmarana stotram, is telling us every moment that body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them is not our identity. Andaryami is our actual identity. And when we discuss this, we mention this also, that the Ashtadha Prakriti, which means five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things, which comes from the material nature or Prakriti, will never get influenced by the nature of the soul, Andaryami. Andaryami's nature is eternal, blissful and knowledge, isn't it? Whereas the body, what experiences every day, wear and tear, hunger and thirst, pranans, hunger and thirst, mind, chittavritti, where ragam, dvesham, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all this is. So pranans is hunger and thirst. Mind has got these problems of the lust, anger, greed, etc., etc., all those things. And the body has got its problems, old age, disease, death, things like that. Things what exist in the body, mind, intelligence, ego, those problems can never influence the self. Similarly, the nature of the self, which is eternal, blissful and knowledge, can never influence the other side also. Body, mind and intelligence. So these two things, they are acting separately inside this body. One side, Atma, the soul, with its eternity, blissfulness and full of knowledge. On the other side, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all of them with its problems. Their problems will not go into the self, and the nature of the self will not go into the other side. But they are still together. This is our existence at the moment. Is it not? Once this awareness is inside all the time, which is important, Throughout the day, if this awareness is there, whatever happens to the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, that will not create that problem, what we experience, which is called material existence. Material existence. So, first thing here, that is why, self-inquiry, if it may not be practical, especially when we start very late in life, and when the vasanas inside are very deep-rooted, and it is carrying a lot of baggage inside. So, therefore, in the first verse, you will notice, Pradarsmarami hrudi samspuradam alpadatvam sachit sugam brahamsa gadim paramahamsa gadim turiyam ya svatna jagara sushuptim avaiti nityam tad brahmam nishkalam aham nacha bodha sankha. Only thing what is spoken about is the characteristics of Atma, Antaryami. Only that is spoken there. Meditation on that, Dhyanam. First thing is meditation, when there is absolute truth inside us, Antaryami present. So, if that is not happening, initially it is difficult, isn't it? Because so much when you are absorbed in the body, it is very difficult straight away to think about in terms of the soul and these qualities of the soul. So therefore, to start with, what somehow or the other to control that thought waves inside, to chant the holy name a lot, chant the holy name of Lord, and bring the mind to some peaceful state. Because only when there is a sattvagunam, it is possible to do all these things. Only if there is sattvagunam in a person, you can do all these things. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, that is why, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, what's that? He says there, Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Prakasham cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati udasina vadasina gunayo na vijayade guna vartanda ityevam yogatishtadinengade samadukha suvashma swastha samaloshtashma kanchana tulya priya priyo dhira tulya nindalpa samstuti mana bamaneyo tulya tulyo mitrari prakshayoho sarvarambha parityagi gunatita samuchyade gunatitan. He says gunatitan means one who has transcended the three modes of nature, So when sattvagunam is present inside, it is possible to do these things. Otherwise, it is not possible. If you have rajogunam and tamogunam inside, then what will happen? Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita the nature of the mind, isn't it? These three gunam, sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, is in three ways it operates, isn't it? Sattvagunam means knowledge. Sattvagunam means knowledge. Not knowledge theoretically in the brain. In the person it's manifesting that knowledge. Prakasham, enlightenment, illumination. Not that the bulbs on the body, but the knowledge is working in that person. That's prakasham. Spiritual knowledge is working in a person. That is called prakasham. Rajoguna means action. And tamoguna means moham, illusion, isn't it? These three things, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, they will come and influence us to some extent all the time. In our daily life, it'll come and go. In our daily life, they'll come and go. Little bit at least. It's not possible to be outside that. So what are we doing then? What we are trying to do is by analyzing this and reasoning it out through logic and reasoning, vijaram, then we are learning how to stay away from that. That's all it is. For example, Krishna is saying there that when sattugunam comes, in a natural way, you will be in a meditative mood, thoughtful mood. You will become more thoughtful and conscious of everything what is going on. You will think about life. You will think about the goal. You will think about the miseries of this world. This is all brings, sattugunam brings in. When, and mind will become very peaceful inside. There will be shanti inside, and also there will be bhakti in the heart. These are all symptoms of sattugunam. Bhakti in the heart, shanti inside, and thoughtful nature. Meditation also will develop inside. A meditative mood will develop in the heart. When rajogunam comes, you will turn into action. You will turn into action. Because you won't be able to stay without doing something. Rajogunam is operating from inside. And if tamogunam comes, if it is dominating, then you will feel some laziness, sleep, and you're tired. And altogether you will feel a kind of helplessness. Useless you feel. Helpless about everything. So, pramadam alasyam nidra, Krishna says, isn't it? Pramadam alasyam nidra. So, you will see there in that verses itself that Krishna asked this, Arjuna asked a question that kair lingais trin gunan etan atido bhavadi prabho kim achara katham chaitam trin gunan adivartade. Trin gunan adivartade. By which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? So in answer to that, Krishna spoke these verses. And finally, he told him that a person is said to have, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Transcended the modes of nature. So, and that's what he has spoken in those verses, 22 to 25. And when tamogunam is present inside, even if you come and sit here, you won't be able to listen to anything. When tamogunam is present, isn't it? You won't be able to listen to anything because of the presence of the tamogunam inside. That is its nature. it will be like that. That even in satsangam, shravanam is not possible. Shravanam is not possible because pramadam, alasyam, nidra, especially this pramadam. That is, you can see this problem that when tamogunam is present inside, you won't be able to listen. You are struggling with it. Struggling hard, trying to understand, and then either you will go to sleep or you will give up. You will think like that, it will go like that. It's just a time wasted, it's gone. But if rajogunam, what happens there? What happens when rajogunam is inside? You will be hearing from one side, and the other side, the mind will be interpreting on that. Mind and intelligence will be working. Mind and intelligence will say to you, I don't think what he says is right. There should be something different than that. Some kind of interpretation will go on inside. Rajogunam does that. You see how each gunam brings its own contribution to the satsangam, to the shravanam. That's why shravanam is a great art. We are thinking shravanam is just sitting there and listening to what he is going to say. No. Shravanam, why Parikshit Maharaj shravanam is considered the superior shravanam compared to Vedavyasa shravanam or Shravanagarishi shravanam? Because Parikshit's state was such, when he was hearing, he is not interpreting anything. Mind is not interpreting anything. Otherwise, in Rajogunam, when it is very strong inside, when you are hearing something, the mind will be interpreting that. Some way or the other, it will give an interpretation to everything. It will go in the all other kinds of directions. You will think that, that's why when you ask all the weird questions, you know, when you ask the weird questions, that you start asking, that people hear Bhagavad Gita and they are asking this question. Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who is sitting at the back. That means he has to sit like this. It must be hurting here, isn't it? If these kind of questions are coming inside, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that Rajogunam is working very well. To make you ask such question, because if it is Sattogunam, you will know that this has no importance, whether Krishna turned like this or Krishna turned this way. What does it matter? And some people ask questions, oh, there's only four horses in the chariot, but actually there should be five, isn't it? So these kind of details they are interested. And then they are asking, how many hours it took for Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita? Some people say it took 5 hours. So these 5 hours, there was no battle going on there. What was happening then? Is this the way to inquire about spiritual life? So you can see, when Rajogunam present inside, it will interpret everything in another level. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. It's all collecting information, verifying everything, whether what is written in the book is correct or not. Or we'll ask the question, Krishna was 125 years old. How old was he when he was having the battlefield? Say 100 years old. Okay, at 100 years he was fighting the battle. How is that possible? Bhishma was an older person as well. So we will be looking into all the aspects of what we have to know from Bhagavad Gita. We won't look for that. What we don't need to know from Bhagavad Gita, we'll be asking questions about all those things. So all these interpretations like this is a symptom of the presence of Rajogunam in a person. Rajogunam in a person. So, and if there is Sattogunam in a person, what will happen? It will go straight into the heart. Straight into the heart. To the right place. So, but Vedanti says the Shravanam should be even beyond the three modes of nature. Beyond the three modes of nature. Which means that Shuddha Sattvam. That is where the best way of hearing the Bhagavatam. Because when you are hearing that Shuddha Sattvam, as soon as you hear, at that time, what they call as Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means straight away acceptance by the Andaryami inside. Or what we call that as the Brahmavidya will show its power immediately at that time. Once it is enough to hear, in such a situation. Parikshit, that is what Parikshit's success was, isn't it? As soon as he finished, what did he say? Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, he says. Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi. And he has heard only once, and he got established in the truth. Established in the truth. So, for some people, it is like that. One word is sufficient in this satsangam. And they don't require for satsangam or a lecture for a long period of time. One word is enough. There is a story of Arunagirinatha. Kartikeya instructed him only one word. That was sufficient. He sat in that state for a long period of time. With that, it was only thing what was told, be silent, he said. Kartikeya instructed him, Subramani instructed him, be silent. Arunagirinatha sat in that state for many, many years in that silence. And from inside, Antaryami was pouring everything to him, what was required for him. So, for self-realization, it is like that. That it is not for how long, how many years you have trained up yourself. All that has no meaning in self-realization. In spiritual realization, how many years you have endeavored hard, saying that I am a devotee for 50 years or 60 years or 70 years, that it is not time factor. That has no relevance there. What is important there is this, that in how did you hear things, how did it work inside? That's what it matters, isn't it? So, this is spoken by Ashtavakra Maharshi. Ashtavakra Maharshi, when he is talking to Janaka, he mentions this. He says like this, that Ashtavakra says, Yatha tado obadeshena kritartha sattva buddhiman ajivam abhijinyasu para tatra vimuhyati. This point, Ashtavakra Maharshi is saying to Janaka, that when the sattvagunam builds up in a person, such a person, even if he receives a very little instruction, that is sufficient. It will happen to him. It will happen to him. Straight away he will become conscious of the soul, Antaryami inside, and it will start working for him. Even a very little limited instruction is sufficient for him if there is sattvagunam. But one who doesn't have sattvagunam, there is no chittashuddhi, purity inside. For him, no matter how long he hears, from whomever he hears in this world, whatever instructions given to him for the whole lifetime, he will still wander around in this world looking for some direction. Looking for some direction without experiencing the truth. Without experiencing the truth. And he will remain in avidya for the whole lifetime. So you can see how Ashtavakra Maharshi's statement is. He said, when the sattvagunam is predominant inside, then as soon if there is sattvagunam in the intelligence, in the brain, then as soon as you hear, immediately Brahmavidya will have its effect. Others, even if the lifetime they have devoted for that, it will be like, they give the example, it is a little bit crude. You know these goats, when they eat the grass, they will eat a little bit here, then they will go and eat something there. Then they will eat something else, somewhere else. It's not like a lawnmower. They will eat something here, something there, something there, something there. Like that, in that way, our spiritual life will go. So, they will keep on biting the grass everywhere. But that's what you have to remember. Shravanam is not for knowing something. It's not for knowing something. School and college and the university and all that is academic subjects, isn't it? There the topics are different. You are not realizing anything there. You are using your mind and intelligence and scrutinizing things. And what you can do is that what you get there, you can even transfer to somebody else later on your own. You can transfer that to somebody else. Here, the difference is you are keeping the glass on your nose and you are looking for that. The first thing what you are looking for is right inside you, Antaryami. Sometimes old people do that. They keep the glass on their nose and they'll be, where is my glass? They'll ask him. It's like that in spiritual life. In spiritual life it's like that. You're keeping the glass on your nose and you're looking for the glass. Similarly, Antaryami whom you are looking for is inside you. That's what you are looking for, but you're not conscious of that. You're looking for him everywhere else. Whereas in the university and college, it's a different way. There it is mind and brain, external subjects you are studying, you collect the information and analyze it with your brain to the capacity and then you scrutinize it and you can transmit to somebody else through another mind and brain. One mind and brain receives and hands out another mind and brain somewhere else, isn't it? So that academic style of education will not work here. Here, something what you already got, you are finding him, which you already have, isn't it? So, and to person who is looking for the glasses, keeping it on his nose, When you point out to him, look, you got the glasses on your nose, what are you looking for? Oh, he says, yeah, yeah, it's there, he says. Sometimes it happens like that, isn't it? Similarly, hearing the Shastram or hearing the knowledge of the self, it has to happen at that moment itself. Some experience has to happen inside. And that is why it is called Purnam Sanatana Padam Purushottamakhyam. See that words there in the last words? Purnam Sanatana Padam Purushottamakhyam. Purushottama, who is inside, who is Sanatana, and who is perfect, that is what you are inquiring after. Sanatanam Purushottamakhyam. And he is Purnam. He is Purnam. He is complete. But all we are doing is, we are not conscious of this Purushottama. That lack of awareness, you are taking it away. That's all Shastram does. Only thing what Shastram does is taking away that unawareness of your Andaryami. So we'll have a short break now. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahada vadni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipada purnam radaswadanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nimida smaranesha kala edadrishi tava krupa bhagavan mamavi durdaivami drishamha janinanuragaham Trinara Vishuni Chena Taro Ravi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamae Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavada Bhaktirahe Dugitvai Ayi Nandatanu Jagingaram Patitamam Shame Bhavam Budau Kripaya tava pada pankajastita dhuli sadrisham vichindayam Nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira Pulakair nijalam kadavapu tavannam grahane bhavishyati Yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govindavahe name Ashleshava padaradam pinashtuma Adarshanam armahadam karotuva yatha tadava vidathatulam vado malpranamathastuna evana param. Pratarnamami tamasaparam arkavarnam purnam sanatanabadam purushottamakhyam yasmindidam jagadashesham ashesamurto rajvabhujangamam iva Pradipasitam vai. So, Purnam Sanatanapadam Purushottamakhyam. Purnam Sanatanapadam Purushottamakhyam. So, proper hearing immediately gives the experience of that. Purnam Sanatanapadam Purushottamakhyam. That Purnam, perfection, happens there. Sanatanapadam Purushottamakhyam. Then, what is the problem is this. Purnatvam, the realization comes, that is Purnatvam. Purnatvam means perfection. Remember, in reference to the soul, they will always use this word Purnada. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnamudachyade, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnam evava shishyade, in the Ishavanishat also. So, word Purnam is used in relationship with the soul. What is that perfection in the soul? Why do we say soul is perfect? Everything else in this world has come into existence, stayed for some time and then disappear. Whereas this vastu has no birth, no death. Therefore it is perfect. And because it has no birth or death, it is perfect. And because it is absence of birth and death, makes it perfect. And therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Na Satevi, it is Sat. Therefore it is Sat. Therefore it is Sat. Na Sado Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubhayorabhi Drishtvandam Stanayor Tatu Darshivi. Krishna says there. But then, What do we have now? At the moment we are feeling that it is not perfect. We are not perfect. We feel that. We say also that, isn't it? Actually, it's a wrong statement when we say to others, nobody is perfect in this world, we say. We say that sometimes, isn't it? Nobody is perfect in this world. Yes, no body is perfect, I agree. But every soul is perfect. No body is perfect. So it is not perfect. That understanding is a bhramam. It is illusion. It is illusion. All we are doing is removing that illusion from inside that you are not perfect. We are perfect. By very nature itself, the soul is perfect. There is nothing, it doesn't require anything from outside. Awareness, consciousness, it is perfect. So, because we identify with the body and with the mind, that illusion comes in, and because of that illusion, when you go into Vyavaharam, it will create the waves in the Vyavaharam. It will create waves in the Vyavaharam. So, at that time you will fall. At that time you will fall. But then you will have to get up again and start the whole thing. So, that is what it is. Shrodavya, Mandavya, Nididhyasidavya. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And in that way you have to constantly practice it to identify with the reality, with the truth, and remain aloof from that Brahman. So, and therefore for that requires Krishna's grace, but that alone will keep us in the track. So our duty in this is only that this self-inquiry from our side, what we can do. Asuptehe amrdehe kalam yet nahi vedanta chindayet. A disciple asked his teacher, how long do I have to do this self-inquiry? He asked this question. So the guru says to him, till you get sleep. He said, till you get sleep, you do that. What he meant by that? He said, till that sleep, in the deep sleep you are realizing that, is it not? So, till you get that deep sleep forever, once for all, that means till the time of death, continue to that, or till the time the body drops away. Asuptehe kalam navaya vedanta chindaya. So, even if we have got it, still, after that also, there is a happiness in listening about the soul, about the Antaryami, and about the bliss, and you talk about that still, and hear about that still, and contemplate on that still. Till we feel 100% you are established in there. So, when Chittavritti, thought waves are coming, or thoughts are coming, at that time, you still have to ask the question, who is having it? Who is having it? It is, I am having it. And who am I? That question comes. And what is my identity? What is my identity? I am saying I am, I am, I am. But what? Who is that me? So, who is that person who is doing, experiencing all the chittavritti? That is what he said. Pradam smarami samhridi hridi samspuradam almatattvam. Almatattvam. Hridi samspuradam almatattvam. We have to give our attention there. You have to give the attention there. While we wake up in the morning after a deep sleep, who woke up? Who woke up? Who went to sleep? You have to ask that question. Who woke up? Ahangaram woke up. Who went to sleep? Ahangaram went to sleep. Isn't it? And similarly, anger, tension, depression, who has it? Who is having it? And that is how we continue this inquiry all the time. All the time. And when you keep inquiring, eventually this ahangaram goes and dissolves somewhere. Because you can see that. When you are inquiring about him, like remember that story about the marriage and the guest who came, neither belongs to the... This ahangaram's nature is like that. ideally, strictly speaking, we are that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, always pure, fully conscious, always liberated. This is our identity. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta Swarupam. But instead we are feeling these problems of birth, death, old age and disease. So, this is Vichara Pradhanam. Vichara Pradhanam means that it is something you got to keep thinking about it. If you don't think about it, it will never happen. You got to give time to think. Meditation means what? Absorbing in that, isn't it? So even though you may be doing with the mind and the intelligence, it will slowly start going inside. Mind and intelligence will withdraw. But at that time, because the vastu is purnam, that is the importance. Vastu is purnam. You will see in the Viveka Chudamani, this mentions there, in the verse 254 and 255, jadi niti kulam gotra duryagam nama rupa guna dosha varjidam desha kala vishayadi vartiyad brahma tattvamasi bhavayalpani. Two verses to explain that Alma has any restrictions. Jadi, Nidi, Kulam, Gotram, Duragam, Nama Rupa, Gunadosha, Varjidam, Desha Kala, Vishayadi, Vartiyad, Brahma Tattvamasi, Bhavayatmani. That which is beyond no caste, no creed, no family, no lineage, no name and no form, and transcends the space and time and sense objects, that is me. That is me. And that is what the meditation should be in the mind. Jadi niti kula gotra duryagam nama rupa guna dosha varjidam desha kala vishayadi vartiyad brahma tattvamasi bhavayalpani. Another one. Yalparam sagalavaga gojaram gojaram vimala bhoda chakshusha shuddha chiddha dhanamana adivastu yal brahma tattvamasi bhavayalpani. Yalparam sagalavaga gojaram gojaram vimala bhoda chakshusha shuddha chit namanadi adivastu yal brahma tattvamasi bhavayalpani. This Brahman is beyond the range of all our speech. Words cannot express that. But accessible to the eye of pure illumination, one who has purified inside, chitta shuddhi has happened, for him, he can experience that. Which is pure, and what is it? Shuddha chit. Shuddha chit dhanam anadi vastuyat. Anadi vastuyat. That is his nature. That means that he is pure, embodiment of knowledge, and beginningless entity, anadi vastuyat. He is beginningless, he has no beginning. And he is chit, pure knowledge, and he is always pure. Shuddha chit dhanam anadi vastuyat. Anadi brahmam tattvamasi bhavayalpani. And that is to be formed, to be meditated in the mind. This is all the nature of the brahmam. So, brahmam is purnam, uninterrupted vastu inside. And realizing that birth, death and all these things don't exist in me. It doesn't exist in me. So why do we do like this? Why do we have this bhavana inside us? To get rid of that viparita bhavana inside. At the moment I am thinking, I am going to die one day. That is not knowledge, that is ignorance. To think that I am going to die one day is my ignorance, right? Similarly, I am going to take birth again is also ignorance. I am getting sick is also ignorance. I am getting old is ignorance. Body is getting old, I am not getting old. Body is getting sick, I am not getting sick. So, because when these things happen to the body, we identify with that. Due to that, a certain imagination or certain understanding builds up inside. And that is called Viparita Bhavana. Viparita Bhavana means that. Viparita Bhavana means the understanding you have built up inside due to my avidya, ajnanam inside. Because I don't have the knowledge, proper knowledge in me, therefore I have built up this false identity with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And the problems of body, mind, intelligence and ego, I am thinking them is happening to me and they are real. This is called Viparita Bhavana. This is all Viparita Bhavana. So, if you want to get rid of this from inside, you have to meditate on Brahman and its attributes. Like, which it says here, that it is full of knowledge, illumination, pure, beginningless entity, and it is beyond caste and creed, family and lineage, devoid of name and form, merit and demerit, transcending space and time and sense objects. All these are qualities of Brahman. So by constantly meditating on that, this Viparita Bhavana I have built up within me, about me, must go from inside. That is the idea behind it. That is why it is done like that, Viparita Bhavana. For example, when Viparita Bhavana is there, we will think like this, I am a man, or I am a woman, I am a husband, I am a wife. These are all Viparita Bhavana. It has no meaning more than that, isn't it? So similarly, I have my family, I have to look after them, this, that. So in order to take away all these Bhavana inside, false identities, all this, in order to take away this Viparita Bhavana, that mind requires some other bhavana to get rid of this bhavana. Mind needs some bhavana inside. So Viparita Bhavana has to go and the Anukula Bhavana has to come inside. So you will see this, the example is given like this. They give this example. When you tie the cows at home, or normally you tie in the compound somewhere in the garden, you tie that to a post. If you don't tie that to any post, what will happen is, it will go to others' garden and will eat everything. They will complain. It's always a problem in the villages, isn't it? They'll come and complain to you about it. So, if you tie the cow to its post in the garden and give enough food for the cow to eat there itself, without allowing to go to others' garden and to eat others' food, so, if you do that, what will happen? It won't feel the necessity to go to somebody else's ground or somebody else's land and to eat anything. So, therefore, if you have sufficient Brahmavijaram, Atmavijaram inside, then you won't feel the need to inquire about the welfare of the body, welfare of the mind, welfare of the intelligence. All these things won't become an issue at all. So that is why Brahma Tattva Masi Bhavayatmani. That means always making yourself convinced that I am Purna Vastu, I am living force. For me there is no death or birth or death. I am like, as we discussed yesterday, that it is like the unlimited consciousness, sky, unlimited sky, and anger, hate, illusion, all these kind of emotions. It belongs to the mind, it is not in my swarupam, in my real identity. Similarly, birth, death, living, all these things is for the body. Body takes birth, body lives in this world, body dies at the end. And similarly, that is all for the body. Body takes birth, body lives in this world, body dies. And similarly, all the thought waves belong to the mind, doesn't belong to me, belongs to the mind. In my pure identity, they don't exist. Similarly, hunger, thirst, all this is pranan. Pranan's activity is the life air. That requires hunger and thirst, all these things. In soul, none of them exist. All of them is like in the snake in the rope. Like the snake in the rope. That is what it said there. Rejvam, bhujangamam, eva, pradivasidam vai. That is pradivasanam. Pradivasanam means what we discussed before. It's called adhyaryopam or adhyasam. Both words. Adhyasam or adhyaryopam. Adhyasam it is. Adhyasam. Adhyasam means that you are superimposing something on one thing. Atasmin tad buddhi. That means you are seeing something what it is not, what it is not. Instead you are seeing something else. Like in the rope you saw the snake. Your rope is not the snake. Similarly, in the Tirumula writes about this nicely. He says that they got a very expensive wood, and with that wood they made a huge elephant. In the wood they carved a huge elephant, right? And then they brought a child and showed him. He only saw the elephant in the wood. He didn't see the wood. As soon as he saw the form, he said, "Oh, it's a nice elephant to play with." He jumped onto the elephant. He sat there on the elephant and he felt he's on the elephant. He's feeling like that. Then you brought a carpenter there. Carpenter came, he looked at it. He didn't see the elephant there. He looked at the wood. What wood it was made of. So he took his chisel and started scratching it to find out what kind of wood it is, because it's already painted and all that. So, carpenter sees the wood, the child sees the elephant. Child sees the elephant. So, when you looked at the elephant, the wood disappeared. And when you looked at the wood, the elephant disappeared. Vastu is still there. Vastu is still there. So, similarly, five material elements has taken this shape. And material elements is this, what this is, what you are seeing is five material elements. This has covered Krishna. This has covered Brahma or Krishna. What you are seeing, and when you very carefully, in a very subtle level, when you are looking at it, you realize what is there is only Atma or Brahma, not material elements. You see that connection? This Trimula song is famous, that how he saw in the wood the elephant. That when you are looking at it, the child is looking at it, child is seeing only elephant. He doesn't care whether it's wood or what. For him it's a thing to play with. He wants to get onto the elephant and enjoy it. For the carpenter, he is not in a playful mood like the child. He wants to enjoy, he wants to see what is the wood he is made of. That's what carpenter's mind goes into that direction. So similarly, this manifested world here, what we are seeing here, is like we are like the children. We are seeing the elephant in this. We are not seeing. But only through self-realization, when you start looking at this world, you see world is not existing. Only what existing is Krishna there. It is Krishna who is existing, not the world. So that vision, change of vision, is what is spoken about. Rajva bhujangama iva pradibhasidam vai. In one line the whole thing is spoken. Rajva bhujangama iva pradibhasidam vai. So, when you saw Krishna there or Brahmam there, material elements have all disappeared. Like the elephant disappeared when you saw the wood. Similarly, when you saw properly, with your proper vision, with self-realization, when you saw the world, world has disappeared. Instead, what you are seeing is Krishna everywhere. So, Reju Sarpam Vibhrandi. So, there are so many examples to explain this, but this is one of the best examples. There is another example that women put the garlands on their hair and it fell off in the night somewhere on the street. It was lying there. Somebody saw that and thought, a snake is lying there. Snake is lying there. But so many different examples like that. Similarly, this when you walk on the river shore or seashore, sometimes you will find this from the pearls that, it lying there. It reflects like the silver. It reflects like the silver. So, you know that it is not silver. It's not silver. But you are thinking that it looks like silver, isn't it? So, all these things is nothing but the same illusion in us. The same illusion at us. And in the night time when you walked on the seashore, in the beach, you saw that. But in the morning when the sun came and you looked at it, you realized that it is not silver. And similarly with the rape and the snake, rope and the snake. Equally, we will give the example that when in the very hot sun, when you are walking on a road which is asphalted or tar is there, long distance you will find, and the road is straight road going, quite long distance you will think there is water there, there is a reflection. But when you get there, you look, there is no water there. It was only what they call as a refraction of the thing. So mirage it is, isn't it? Mirage. In the desert also, you look a long distance, you think there is water, you go there is no water. It's a mirage. So, and sometimes in the desert you think that there is water there, but it's not there. Marumarichika, they say. So these are all examples to show to us that the world also you are seeing now, the world as you are seeing now, in the same way, is not real. It's not real. For example, that you can see that you're watching a movie, is there anything there real? Only the screen is there, is it not? So, and a lot of things are happening in that movie. Lots of things are happening. And correspondingly, a lot of emotions are generated in us when you are watching the movie. You are not thinking, it's not real. When the screen is going on, the movie is going on, screen is there, the movie is going on, you are watching the movie and you are so absorbed in that movie, it is all creating a lot of emotions inside you. Even though, as soon as the film stops and the lights are on, all you find is a screen there. Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yatha. You can't get a better explanation than that. Krishna is saying to us, look, this world what you are looking at is like this cinema business. You are thinking there is a lot of things there. There is nothing there. Artehi avidyamanevi, because there is avidya inside, but the effect is there on us. The effect of the world is in us. We are feeling ragadvesham in the world. We are feeling hate, love. We feel everything is real here. Is it not? Krishna is saying to us, the reality can come even if the vastu is not there. Dhyayalo vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yada. Like in the dream state, whatever anartham, what has happened in the dream, dhyayalo vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yada, they are not real. But you had the effect of that anartham, of the experience of the misery of the dream, you have still experienced in the dream. But only thing is, when you wake up, that misery leaves you. Whatever problems you experienced or distress you have experienced in the dream state leaves you when you wake up. Similarly, when you wake up to the spiritual reality, Andariyami, when that spiritual awakening happens, at that time, Krishna is saying there, this reality of this world will also go from inside. Dhyayato vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yada artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartade. So, that is so many examples here to show to us that there is no difference. Bhagavadam is saying the same thing, Bhagavad Gita is saying the same thing, Prasmana Sotram also saying the same thing. So, because what is happening is that the screen is there, lots of things are happening. Some people are crying in the screen, some people are laughing in the screen, somebody is getting married, somebody is fighting, and somebody is busy with, somebody is stealing, and somebody is killing, all kinds of things. But there is nobody there, but all these things are happening on the screen. So, these are all normal examples. What it is trying to say is that through example or this adhyasam, through adhyasam or superimposition, that means you are imposing something on the vastu, on Brahmam, you are imposing all these things. Due to this imposition, this effect will be there in us. We will feel the reality as though the world exists, the vastu exists, all these things, isn't it? So, that's what it is. What have we imposed here? The body, the mind, and the complex world. All these are impositions. Where did you impose them? In the soul. Atma. In the soul. So, when you have done that, duality has come. As soon as you have done that, duality has come. The snake is there in one place, and the rope is there also. And you have seen the snake before. So keep remembering the snake, you are looking at the rope. You are remembering the snake and you are looking at the rope. And that is how you are imposing the snake on the rope. You have seen snake somewhere before and that memory is in your head. Keeping that memory of the snake, you are looking at the rope and you are imposing that memory of the snake onto the rope. Isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying that, is there anything else here? For example, this is a very subtle topic also, that this has to be realized after a lot of analysis and inquiry of the self. What you will see there is that in you are thinking there is a rope, there is a snake. You have imposed the snake on the rope. But after a long time, you will realize the snake and the rope are all impositions on Brahman. Brahman is the only truth. Everything else is imposition. But when we give examples, and we can only present it in this way. So, there are instances with many, many great personalities who have lived in this world in that state. And their life was such that very perfectly they carried out this realization while living in this world. They stayed in that state all the time. And when you look at them, you realize how Shastram is working through them. A personality who used to wander around like a crazy person. For us, he looks crazy. Bala Unmatta Pishachavat. In the Bhagavatam you will see. Dhruva Maharaj's brother became like that. He realized the truth even better than Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj's brother. If you look at the lineage of Priyavrata and Uttanabada, you will see there that brother, and they mentioned about him, Bala Unmatta Pishachavat. Like children he was, like young children he was playing. Unmattam. Unmattam means he used to do things which had no proper, didn't make any sense. Like Jadabharata, like Rishabhadev, like Yudhishthira. When Yudhishthira gave up everything, he went into Himalayas, that is how he left. Threw away all his royal attire, everything, threw it off and put a cloth on and walked away from there with a long beard and grown hair, everything. No cleaning the body, nothing. Bala Unmatta Pishachavat. You will see all these personalities when the realization happened. That Srimad Bhagavatam will mention about every one of them like this. Rishabhadev left kingdom, walked away with a stone in the mouth, so he didn't want to talk to anybody about anything. And in one instance, one of the Swamiji, they asked him that, give me, people knew that they are realized person. They asked him to give me some instructions, spiritual instructions, he said to him. So Swamiji didn't say anything to him. He ignored him completely. In one instance, he was holding onto a buffalo and standing there. So this person came and asked him, Swamiji, give me some instructions. Swamiji says, what is this? He said, so the visitor who was asking for instructions, he said, it's a buffalo. He said, Swamiji said, you are the buffalo. You are a buffalo, he said. This happened in Seshadri Swami in Tirunavalai. That story you can read in the web. what happened to him. He says, you are the buffalo, he said, because you are calling him as buffalo. He hasn't got a name, buffalo. He doesn't know he is a buffalo, does it? Buffalo doesn't know that my name is buffalo or I am a buffalo. He doesn't know that. You are calling him as a buffalo because you are the one who are injecting Namarupam into everybody. It is only a form they are standing there, isn't it? And if you call him buffalo, will it respond? It won't respond. It will look somewhere else. So why do you call him buffalo then? You put a name to it, isn't it? So this name and form is all inside us. Vastu has nothing to do with it. Imagine. See, we all got one name, isn't it? We all have one name. How deep is that name inside us? Think about it. Except in the school certificates, passport and everywhere, that name is there. Beyond that, how deep is it inside? Because we have adhyasam for so many years, we try to force that name onto us. Parents gave it to you and told you, you have this name from now on. From that day onwards, till now, we held on to that. And if anybody asks you, we go shake hands. I'm so and so this. But even when you are saying that, how effective it is inside, it has nothing. No impact is there. Because you have to put some name to it, so you say it doesn't matter. Some people, when they get abused, they say, you can call me what you like, he says. But give me my money, he said. So that, what does that show? It shows that all this name and form is all on the surface. It's all on the surface. Name and form is all on the surface. It is not in the deeper level. That's very clear, isn't it? That's very clear. So that is what we have to understand. But sometimes we get so upset. He called me this, he called me that. And he said, so remember that story, there was a Mahatma in Gujarat, he had few disciples. The disciples were fighting each other one day. So Mahatma says to him, you shouldn't fight like this, this is not good. So one day one of them came up to him and says to him that he called me a donkey, he says. Is that correct for him to call me a donkey? So Mahatma told him that how many times did he call you? He said, does that matter? He said, he's called me once, that enough, isn't it? Disciples are fighting each other. He's called me once donkey, he said. He shouldn't call like that, isn't it? He said, so Mahatma says to him that he called you donkey once, isn't it? And you are affected so much by that. I have told you, you are Brahmam, you are Brahmam, you are Brahmam 1,000 times, and it's not affecting you. So, what to do? So 1,000 times he have told you that Aham Brahmasmi, it hasn't made any effect. He called you donkey once and it hurt you so much. Why bother? He said to him. So similarly, this name and form it's all on the surface. It's all on the surface. And it is a hypnotism we are creating about ourselves. This name and form, isn't it? So, we give this form, everything. And nothing in this world has got any reality with name and form. With name and form. So, we never think about our name itself, isn't it? Do we think, analyze our name anytime? All we know is how to write it and how to sign it. That's all you need to know. And if somebody asks you, how to say, this is my name. More than that, how deeper it is in us, isn't it? And even somebody makes a sound like our name, we'll answer. Suppose I'm calling somebody the name, it's a sound ultimately, isn't it? I make a sound, and in your mind you have that concept, that sound and this name is related. So you are responding to that, isn't it? But, and that too, that understanding also doesn't come at the time of birth. After you are born, few years later, parents have given you a name, and then it takes a while for the child to accept that name. You are calling him again and again, and you will keep repeating the name and convince him that's his name. Only then the child is accepting it. Then after that he'll be alright. Once he sent him to the school, and then he comes out with his certificates, everything, and then he goes to college, and by then he has many more certificates, and then it is there everywhere, in the passport, in all your documents, and all certificates, everywhere. So now you are fully established with that name. But otherwise, what does that all mean? Is it not? So, only after a certain stage, all these things is making any sense to the child also. So, there is similarly in the same way, you can see here that children also use the name only after a certain stage. They will talk about their name. For quite a few years, they won't use their name so freely. They don't know anything. That's not gone in yet. But after some time, they start using that. So, they pick up this name from the world after a certain stage. The name, you may have thought before giving the name to somebody, you look into all the, there's so many things nowadays, isn't it? If you go into the web, you can see what name before you give it to the child. In different countries, they have different processes of deciding how to give a name for the child. So, but the child is not bothered what you give it to him. He has no influence in the decision making. You have made some decision and given the name to him, and totally opposite things happens to him. You gave him the name as Chakravarti. He hasn't got even one penny with him. He's Chakravarti. So, like this, so many names in this world. What does it mean? What does that mean all? So, through language, we are giving this name, we are saying, this is the mic, and this is a box, this is a table, this is a bottle, in this way. This is sky, this is earth, and this is land, this is air, this is water. In this way, we are breaking up everything. We are breaking up everything. So, what Vedantam is doing is, picking up all this, what you have broken up like this, in this way, and putting it together and saying, there is nothing here, there is only one vastu here. Look into the Ekadasha Skandham, you will see this. In the 11th canto, if you will see this, how Kavi Maharshi says this. 11.2.
Kham vayum agnim salilam mahim cha jodim shri sattvani disho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjabodam pranamed ananyam.
That is that. So we have given name and form, broke up everything into many. What Vedantam is doing, all you have broken up like this, pulling it together and telling us there is only one thing here. What is that? What says here?
Kham vayum agnim salilam mahimcha jodim shisatvani dishodramadin saril samudramsha hare shariram yal kinjabodam pranamed ananya.
Sky, air, fire, water, earth, all the five material elements, all the planetary systems, jodim shisatvani dishodramadin, all around, all of them together, Sarit, the rivers and the oceans, in other words, everything.
Kham vayu agni salilam mahimcha janeshu jodimshi sattvani disho drumadim saril samudramscha.
All of them is what? Hare shariram, Krishna's body. It is Krishna who is standing like this in front of us, in this form.
Yel kincha bhudam praname dananya.
Except Krishna, there is nothing here.
When we say that, what it means is, it is Brahman, Alma, pure consciousness that is standing like this, in this form. So, what Vedantam is doing is, what science and we, all of us have done is, broken up everything, given name to everything, given form to everything, and we broke up everything. Vedantam pulls all of them together and says to us, there is nothing, so many things don't exist. What exists here is, there is only one thing, Brahma. Yal kinjabhudam praname dananya, offering obeisances to that vastu, what is behind. That means the screen, not the movie, what is going on. So, egam evam advidiyam Brahma, Upanishad. Egam eva Brahma, neha nanasti kinchana. There is nothing else, only Brahman here. So, person who is seeing, the object he is seeing, the process of seeing, all these things is one vastu. One vastu. That drudrishya vivekam. That's what it is. When you go into the subtle level only, you will understand this. On a gross level, it is difficult to understand. On a very, very, the more and more we become subtle, the more and more we will understand this Bhagavata Dharma. Otherwise we won't. The more we become subtle, the more we will understand what Krishna is talking about. So, one vastu, that itself is breaking up into three. The person who is seeing, the object is seeing, and the process of seeing. Drika, drishyam, everything. So, similarly, body, mind, pranam, senses, all of them in the same way. Originally, there is only Atma inside. Nothing else exists outside Atma. But, yadha analam achishasva, you will see that mentioned in the, next chapter. Pipalayana Maharshi mentions there. If you look into the third chapter, verse 36, Naidan mano vishadivaguda chakshuralma prana indriyanida yathanalam archishasval shabdobi bodhaga nishedhaday alpamoolam arthoktamaha yadrude na nishedasiddhi. He's saying there that Atma is a big fire inside. From him, like the sparks, all these things have come. Which one? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the pranam, everything. The words. Naidan mano vishadi vaguda chakshu Atma pranam indriyanija yadhan. Yadha anala archishasva. Analam archishasva. From the fire, sparks are coming. In the same way, all of them have come. Shabdobi bodhaka nishedhade altmamulam arthottamaha yadudena nisheda siddhi. So in the Bhagavadam, when it is saying there, that it is rejecting everything, not this, and finally only recognizes the vastu inside Atma. And why? Because all these are sparks that has come from that. That means, mind is a spark of Antaryami. Senses are a spark from the Antaryami. Pranam, living life air, is a spark of that Antaryami. And body is also a spark of that Antaryami. So therefore, because they are all sparks that has come from the Antaryami, they are not different than the Antaryami. Because these are sparks that has come from the Antaryami, they are not different from the Antaryami. This is called in the Bhagavadam Anvayam. Anvayam. All this has come from the same source, so they are not different from them. It is one. That is called Anvayam. Now, what is Vedregam? Vedregam is the next line. What it says there? Bodhaka nishedhadai alpa siddhi. It says, not this. None of this. Saying everything is that is called Anvayam. And then first you are rejecting everything. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not this intelligence. That is how the rejection is, isn't it? Rejection is, I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not this intelligence. I am not the ego. I am not the senses. I am not the false ego. Everything I am rejecting. And I am saying, accepting that the truth is Atma. The truth is Atma. So first you are rejecting everything and then you are accepting everything. First rejection and then accepting everything. So this is Anvayam and Vedregam. Anvayam and Vedregam. So what are we doing then? We are actually to training ourselves to see that everything is Krishna's manifestation. Everything is Krishna's manifestation. That means the person who is seeing, the object person who is seeing, and the process of seeing, all of them is nothing but manifestation of Krishna. So, and this sadhana, through Anvaya Vedregam, throughout Bhagavatam, this Anvaya Vedregam is the process followed. First you reject everything, and then you bring everything together. You bring everything together. So, this helps to remove that Brahmam, illusion inside. There is an illusion inside at the moment. What is that illusion? Everything is separate. I am separate from the world. I am on my own, I am independent, all this. And at the moment we are not aware of Krishna's presence in this world. We are aware of everything else in this world, except Krishna. So that Brahman will go, that illusion will go and it will be very effective. Everything is Krishna's manifestation. If that vision becomes strong, then the nature of the object you are looking at will change. Nature of the object will change. And it is at that time it becomes a siddhi in a person. In a person. That means this drishti, it has got such an impact on your vision in the world. Such an impact on the vision in the world. How to understand this? This anvikshiki vidya, what we have started today with, and which is also called as Antaryami Vidya, it changes our vision to such an extent. What happens is, the example of Prahlada and Narasimha and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada, when he was thrown from the top of the cliff, and when the elephants were kicking him, when he was fed with poison, when he was put into the fire to be burned, nothing happened to him, is it not? Nothing happened. Bhagavatam says that. Why is that? That is what, if this anvikshiki drishti, if this realization, what Kavi Maharshi has spoken in the Niminavayogi Samvadam. When that vision becomes very strong inside, not on a very tender level, but on a very strong level, if it becomes strong inside, and that Brahman has gone from them, then it will be like Prahlada's state. It will be like Prahlada's state. And by now, it has become a siddhi for him. Siddhi for him. That means, then no matter what you do with him, it will not work on him. It cannot do it. Because he inside, Antaryami has accepted this. Anyuchiki Vidya means that Antaryami inside us, realization has become so strong that Antaryami will decide the nature of his body then, the nature of his mind, the nature of his intelligence. So you can see when that conversation happened between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, two are on two different levels, this conversation is going on. Prahlada in one level, one who has practiced this Anvikshiki Vidya. If you look into the first canto, Prahlada is identified with Anvikshiki Vidya. Let's look at that. When you talk about the different, you remember third chapter, I think, third or fourth chapter, where the different incarnations were spoken. 24 incarnations were spoken. More in the third chapter of the first canto. Third chapter of the first canto. Look at the verse 11 in the third chapter. Shashtamatre rabatyatvam vritra prapto anasuyaya anvi chigi alarkaya prahladadibhya ujivan. Anvi chigi alarkaya prahladadidhyam ujivan, it says. What does that mean? It means that Atri Maharshi, Atri, appeared, Atri came as Dattatreya, and instructed Prahlada this Atma Vidya, which is Anvikshiki Vidya, was instructed to him, to Prahlada Dibya Ujivan. That Shashtamatre Rabatyatam Vritra Prapto Anasuyaya. Anvikshiki Alarkaya Prahladadibhya Ujivan. So this Anvikshiki Vidya, which is called Andaryami Vidya, another name for that. Another name is Andaryami Vidya. Once that becomes strong to such a level, what has happened to Prahlada, that the impact is so powerful, it has such an impact that the effort goes to, it has gone not even beyond consciousness, it has penetrated into the body, mind, everywhere, that nothing will, you cannot do anything with that body anymore. With that body anymore. To such an extent it is possible. Now, to know about this more, about this Anvikshiki Vidya, in the Upanishads, it is taught as a Vidya, it is taught. These are all part of the Jnanamargam process when it is discussed between the rishis and their disciples. So, when they instruct this Tattvamasi in the Upanishads, that they will tell you the different possibilities, what can happen against you. They'll teach you all that. The possibilities that can go against you in your realization of this truth. The reason for that is, we have various, what they call as Viparita Bhavana. Because Viparita Bhavana, that means the opposite conviction, you can say, in you. A lot of wrong things you are convinced and you have accepted already. And that is all inside us. And they are not leaving us. So to remove this Viparita Bhavana inside, that you can see, when you go a little bit further, another 10,000 emotions will come and pull you back in another direction. Isn't it? Krishna is saying, Shastram is saying, Rishis are saying to us, the world is not real. Body is not real. We listen to all that. This doesn't make any sense. We say, isn't it? For us it's not making any sense. Why do we say like that? What is the reason for that? Krishna is saying to us, the great, most intelligent personalities, the rishis, are telling us, all the Shastram is telling us, that it's not real. We are saying, well, we have got our own spin on that, isn't it? So, this is due to the Viparita Bhavana inside. We, many, many lifetimes, we went through different bodies. We created identity with the body strongly. And not only that identity with the body, all the different vasanas we have picked up in each body. Snake, grass, worm, bacteria,
All kinds of tiger, lion, all their vasanas are still there inside us. It has not all gone. We think we are pure because we have bathed a few times. Or we are wearing a nice dhoti, clean dhoti, we are pure. But inside, how dirty it is, who knows, isn't it? So that vasana inside, that even if you try very hard to accept what the Shastram is saying, it's not allowing us. Inside, it's not allowing us to happen. Because the problem is with us, not with the Shastram. Problem is with us. So, in the nature, everything has come from the birth of everything. There is a root behind that. And that is that according to the degree of our faith, Shraddha, and our meditation, Dhyanam, everything gets stronger. To that extent, in our field of imaginations, or our convictions also, this word, Tattvamasi, will have its effect. Upanishads have got these Mahavakyams, isn't it? Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. These words will penetrate into us to the degree we have purified ourselves. Shraddha, Vishwasam, Bhakti, all these qualities, when they are on a very higher degree, they will start penetrating into us. Till then, it will all remain just words. Just words. So, that is why, when this Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is discussed in the Upanishads, they give 8 examples first. They give 8 examples. And when all the 8 examples were given, you felt they were okay. It makes sense. But when the 9th example was given, you felt that it is not okay. It's not okay. So, Chandogya Upanishad, that's where in the 6th chapter, it's famous in the Chandogya. If you study Chandogya Upanishad, you will find that. This Prakarana about the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. There, what they're saying is that this Mahavakyam, to convince the disciple, spiritual master is giving first 8 examples. After hearing all the 8 examples, he is accepting them. But as soon as the 9th example was given, he couldn't accept it. He finding it difficult with the Mahavakyam. So, similarly, great acharyas who have studied the Shastram very well, that they have thought about all these things. They have also thought about all these problems they have. So, therefore, when they comment on these Mahavakyams in the Chandogyam, Upanishad, all of them, Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, all of them have done that, that they have sensed the problem, what that particular Mahavakyam is bringing for them, and we will understand at that time, when you read that, how much our education in the university and college has corrupted our proper power of discrimination. How much we are corrupted, only you will realize it at that time, when you read that. How much it has corrupted us. You are finding it difficult, the logic that they have put forward, to accept. Because it's not their fault, not the fault of the rishis, fault of ours. We are corrupted by the education that has happened. We say we are civilized, we are cultured, we are intellectual. Actually, we are all fools. As far as Shastram is concerned, we are the civilized, cultured, intellectual fools. That's what we are. So, we'll understand that. So-called civilization, culture, intelligence has all made us bevakuf. That's what it is. That's what it is. Mandugam. Mandugam. Kuba Mandugam. The frog in the well. It is based on that Mandukya Upanishad was written for the Kuba Mandugams like us. Kuba Mandugam means living in a world of our own, in the well, deep well, thinking that we know everything, isn't it? And that arrogance inside, till that goes away, better not to start studying Bhagavatam, because it's not going to help. Because this is meant, Nirmatsaranam sadam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tavatrayavanmulanam. Bhagavatam is meant for dharma projida kaidavo travaramo. If you want a cheating philosophy, look for elsewhere, Bhagavatam says. Don't look here. If you want a cheating philosophy. And once we have gone through all these systems and processes, all we have learned all kinds of cheating. That's what we have learned. The truth hasn't come to us yet. Is it not? So therefore, it is said there that that we have developed this falsity because of that, and therefore everything in the Shastra may also becomes very, very difficult to take on board. Take on board. It's not getting in. So that is why it is said like this, that it made us fools, practically. It made us fools. So we'll stop with that today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue tomorrow.